But you can't figure out how he's going to do things, can you? When you look at the scripture and you see all that he did, I mean, it's amazing. He rescued the people of Israel through parting the Red Sea and letting them walk through on dry ground. He fed them in the wilderness with manna from heaven and water from a rock. And when they finally got into the promised land, he split the Jordan River so they walk across. When Joshua went to defeat the city of Jericho, he had them walk around the walls for the walls to fall down. He told Gideon to go defeat the Midianites by blowing trumpets and breaking jars. He told Jehoshaphat to go defeat the enemy by putting the choir out front and singing praises to God. I mean, God just works in such surprising ways, what he does. And it's true when we get to the New Testament and we see the beginning of the gospel story. He works in surprising ways. God is going to come to earth as a baby. Who would have predicted that except God himself predicted it? Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 1. We're going to look at a story of the surprising plan of God, because God's plan is truly surprising. Truly a surprising plan. And it deals with Mary, so it's appropriate that you sang that song this morning. And Mary's response to this message that Gabriel gave her. And it's not coming up on the screen for me, Gene. I don't know why. There it is. All right. Thank you very much. Luke chapter 1. Stand as you read God's word. We're going to pick it up in verse 26 and see what the word says today. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's main name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be, Mary Ann?" asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Lord, thank you for your word today. And Lord, we just want to open up our hearts and minds to receive the message that you have for us today. And thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The surprising plan of God. God works in surprising ways. He really does. And it begins with a surprising messenger. Surprising messenger. The angel Gabriel came to give Mary this amazing message. Now, angels are powerful servants of God. Angels are spiritual beings that God has created that serve him in the heavenly realms. And they are messengers of God. We know in the Bible just the names of two of them, Michael and Gabriel. Michael is known from his authority and power. Gabriel is known because he's a messenger of God. We saw that Gabriel was the same angel that gave the message to Daniel centuries earlier about the coming king that's going to come. This is the same Gabriel that appeared to Zechariah in the temple to tell him, the priest, that he was going to have a son, even though him and his wife were too old to have kids. "You're going to have a son, and this son, you're going to name him John. He's going to be the forerunner of the Messiah." So the same Gabriel, the same angel, now appears to Mary, a young woman in Nazareth, to give her this amazing, incredible, surprising plan of God. I don't know too much about angels, but I think Gabriel's probably pumped about this assignment. This is a top-notch assignment. I get to be the one to go down and tell Mary what's going to happen. This surprising plan of God. Angels always deliver the messages of God. They deliver messages for God. The message that Gabriel gives to Mary is from God. It isn't Gabriel's message. He didn't make it up. It's what God told him to say. So even though our focus on this day, we're kind of talking about Mary a lot, the focus is really on the message. God is coming. God is coming. God is sending his son to the earth. He's coming. This wonderful, glorious message that we don't have to try to get to God. God has come to us. This wonderful gospel message. Let's talk a little bit about this surprising recipient, Mary. Amazing young woman. She was a resident of Nazareth. Now, I visited Nazareth a couple years ago. I wasn't very impressed with the city of Nazareth, just to be honest with you. But people in that day weren't impressed with it either. It was considered to be an unimportant city, Nazareth was. Not very important. In fact, Luke had to add, when he says she's from Nazareth, a town in Galilee. Kind of like you would say if you were talking to someone out of state and you were talking about Melba, they wouldn't have an idea where Melba was. And they'd say, well, it's a town close to Boise. You know, you kind of give them some description. That's what Luke's doing. It's a town in Galilee, Nazareth. Nazareth was a city about 70 miles from Jerusalem, about 15 miles from the sea, about 15 miles from the Sea of Galilee, 22 miles from the Mediterranean Sea. Sits right across from Mount Carmel, where Elijah fought the prophets of Baal. On top of Mount Carmel, you can look down and see the valley. On the other side of the valley is Nazareth right there. You can see the city right there. That's the place they're talking about. It was considered to be an unclean city because there was too many Gentiles there. There were Roman soldiers stationed there. A lot of Gentiles live in Nazareth. It was kind of on a crossroads. And it was just considered by strict Jews to be a place where you had too much contact with people who weren't Jews, who were considered to be unclean. So the city was kind of looked down on. So much so, you remember Philip, one of the early disciples of Jesus, went and told his friend Nathanael, hey, we found him. We found the Messiah. We found him. He's from Nazareth. And Nathanael's famous words are, can anything good come from Nazareth? In other words, that's just a podunk little unimportant town. Can't believe you're thinking the Messiah is coming from there. Well, that's where Mary lived, in this town that was very unimportant, insignificant, and considered to be unclean. And we could ask ourselves why God chose someone from that city, and I don't know the whole reason, but it could be because he's trying to let the world know, I'm coming. For all the insignificant, all the unimportant, all the unclean people of the world, I'm coming for you to be your Savior. We also know from the story that Mary was a young virgin. A young virgin, it says. Most commentators believe that because girls got married very young then, that Mary is maybe 14 or 15 years old at this time. She's a young teenager. And God was about to give his surprising plan into the hands of a young teenager. Here we go. It says Mary was a virgin, meaning she's not married yet. She'd had no sexual experience with a man. She was a virgin. This is important so we understand that what is going to happen to her will fulfill prophecy. Because hundreds of years earlier, through the prophet Isaiah, we read these words. It says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us, Emmanuel. So the prophet gave this prediction hundreds of years ahead of time that a virgin will give birth to a son. He will be God with us. This is how God's going to get here on this earth. So it's important that we understand she was one who perfectly fulfilled this prophecy. Mary was also engaged to a descendant of David. Engagements in that day were big deals. When you were engaged, it was kind of an arranged marriage sort of thing, and the bride's family would receive a gift of money from the other family, and they would be officially engaged. That would begin about a year-long period of preparation to get ready to be married. During that year-long period, they would remain in their own homes with their families. They would not be together yet. They were to remain pure, save any sexual relationships till after marriage. The husband-to-be would go and build a place for them to live. Oftentimes, it meant adding on a room to the house, the family house. Prepare a place for the wife. So when they're married, they could live together in this place. The engagements were so binding that in that day, in order to break an engagement, you had to get a divorce. It was binding, even though they really weren't married yet. It was binding, the engagement. It's during this time, this year of preparation, the angel shows up to Mary and says, you're going to have a son, a miraculous son, the virgin birth. Mary's busy planning her wedding. She's busy planning her normal, ordinary life. I'm going to get married with Joseph, settle down in Nazareth and have some kids, and this is where we're going to live. And the angel comes with this amazing message. Joseph now was a descendant of King David. And that's important, too, in the story, because we realize that it was predicted in the scripture that the future Messiah would be a descendant of King David. In Psalm 132:11, it says, the Lord swore an oath to David, a sure oath that he will not revoke. One of your own descendants I will place on your throne. The promised Messiah had to be a descendant of King David. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, and he will be Mary's husband, Jesus will be a descendant of King David. That's important. Fulfillment of the prophecy. Also, we know that when Herod decided to put a tax on the land, they had to go to their home of their ancestors. Joseph would take Mary to Bethlehem to be registered, and Jesus would be born there in Bethlehem, which is the hometown of David. Again, fulfilling a prophecy given hundreds of years earlier. Mary was a recipient of God's grace, a recipient of God's grace. The first thing that the angel told Mary was, greetings, you who are highly favored. Highly favored. Yeah, it isn't exactly the same thing, but it's very close to saying, you've been given a lot of grace. Highly favored, because God's grace is God showing us the favor that we don't deserve. You know, he reaches out to us and gives us his amazing grace. Mary was a humble, poor, to the world, an insignificant person. Yet God came to her. God's amazing grace. And through what's going to happen in Mary and through Mary, the Savior of the world is going to come to offer all of us grace. All of us are highly favored. All of us are highly favored by God. God reaches out to us in his love through Jesus Christ, his son. Mary was promised God's presence. Gabriel told Mary, the Lord is with you. Now, that's going to be important because Mary is going to go into uncharted territory. No one else has ever experienced this virgin birth thing, nor has anybody since. There's not even any legends of it or myths about it. This is the only one that ever happened. Her life, when she accepts this plan of God, is going to be absolutely turned upside down. Instead of planning her wedding and doing everything, she's still going to get married, but life's going to be totally different when this all this happens. And so she'll need to know that the Lord was with her. When people reject her, when people don't believe her, when people criticize her, when people make fun of her, people, whatever they're going to do to her, she's going to need to know that God is with her. And because that God was with her, she did give birth to the Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And Jesus, we know, came to die on the cross for our sins so that we can be forgiven of our sins and have eternal life. He died, was rose again, ascended up to heaven, sent his Holy Spirit to live in us, so that God will be with us, because God was with Mary. God's presence. Mary was told not to be afraid. Pretty common angel line. Notice the kids trying to remember their lines when they were doing their program up here. The angel didn't have to worry too much about his lines. It was, do not be afraid. That's the first line. Do not be afraid. natural to be afraid when your angel is talking to you. But the reason the angel said don't be afraid is you found favor with God. Don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. So this amazing grace of God again is an answer to our fears. Don't be afraid. You found favor with God. God loves you. You found favor with God. We can remember that whenever fear attacks our hearts. Don't be afraid. God loves you. God is with you. You found favor with God. Let's look at this amazing message, this surprising message that the angel gave to Mary. First, Mary is going to give birth to a son to be named Jesus. Mary thought she'd have a son someday, right? But not today, not now. That's not the plan. She wasn't married yet. She was still a virgin. It's impossible for her to have a son right now. But the miracle of the incarnation is being announced here. God will become one of us. God will become one of us. In the Gospel of John, we read these familiar words from John 1:14. The Word, speaking of God, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Mary would be the real mother of this child. The baby Jesus would develop in her womb, just like all babies do. The baby would be delivered, just like all babies are delivered. It will be a real pregnancy, a real birth, a real human baby boy. He would be born in Bethlehem. His umbilical cord would be cut. He would be cleaned up and begin to cry and then nurse at his mother's breast like all babies do. Jesus, the real human baby boy born in Bethlehem. That's important for us to know. God becoming one of us. Named Jesus, which means Yahweh saves. If that wasn't surprising enough a message for Mary, the next one would really get her. Mary's son would be the Son of God. The Son of God. Your son will be called the Son of the Most High. Most High was a name for God in the Old Testament. You're going to give birth to the Son of God. We see in this message from Gabriel the amazing news that this one that's coming, Jesus, will be completely human, but completely God. The God-man. God and man. The Son of God. Now, Mary's going to understand. We don't know how educated Mary knew, you know, but she probably had learned through the prophecies and people reading Scripture in her home and other places. She knew some of this stuff. She would understand right now that this promise is for the Messiah. She's going to give birth to the Messiah. Christ is coming to earth. God is sending his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. That whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Eternal life. He gave his one and only son. So Jesus will be Mary's son and he will be God's son. Mary's son will rule on David's throne. The Lord himself will give him the throne of his father David. This baby boy, the son of Mary and the son of God, will be the long-awaited promised king, the one that God promised to King David, a descendant of yours, will rule on your throne forever. There were many descendants of David who ruled on the throne, but none like this one. This is the promised king. So when the angels announced that night when Jesus was born in Luke, they say, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord, the Messiah, the Anointed One. He's come to earth to rule on David's throne. Mary's son will rule his eternal kingdom. The kingdom that Jesus will rule will surpass any other kingdom. The angel said, he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. The song that you heard earlier, Mary, did you know? We don't know for sure all that she knew. Did she really understand she's given birth to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? The one she's going to give birth to will have an eternal kingdom that she's going to belong to. Her son will also be her king. Her son will also be her savior. Her son will be her God. Her son the Messiah. Amazing. He will rule this eternal kingdom. In Revelation 11, we get a picture of it. It says, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. Well, let's look at Mary's response. Her response is amazing. Remember, she's just a young teenager. She did not doubt, but questioned how. Mary said, how will this be since I am a virgin? Really wasn't doubting. She's honestly seeking an answer to how this is going to happen. Very different than Zechariah. When he heard the message that him and his wife were going to have babies when they couldn't have baby, his response was, how can I be sure of this? He was doubting. Mary's really not doubting. She wants some explanation. She knows how babies enter the world. She knows that she's a virgin. She knows, humanly speaking, she's not going to have a baby right now. So she questioned how. And Mary was told that God would do a miracle. A miracle. Gabriel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. This is the miracle of the virgin birth predicted by the prophet Micah 700 years earlier. We remember Luke, who wrote this gospel, is a medical doctor. It also says he carefully investigated everything he wrote. I can just imagine him sitting down with Mary and saying, okay, Mary, tell me the story. Had it happened? I'm a doctor. I know where babies come from. I know how all this works. Tell me. And what he writes is, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. What happened inside Mary was a miracle of God. It's interesting. Barna Research did a research thing in 2007, found out all the people they researched found that 75% of the people believed in the virgin birth. Isn't that interesting? Then they interviewed just those that didn't believe, that weren't Christians. 53% of them still believed in the virgin birth. Isn't that interesting? The virgin birth is really important in our belief, that we believe that God really did this amazing miracle. That the same God who created the whole universe with his spoken word could create in Mary his own son, Jesus the Christ. A miracle. I also thought, you know, Mary's an example in a sense of what God wants to do for all of us. Do you realize that for 9 months, God lived in her? Really lived in her as a baby developing. And that Savior that was born, that came to die and save us from our sins and give us eternal life, through his Holy Spirit, lives in us. When we're born again, we have the Holy Spirit of God in us. Mary had God in her for 9 months. We have God in us by his Spirit forever. The Spirit of God living in us. Again, a miracle. How do you explain that? It's a miracle. How do you explain the virgin birth? It's a miracle. But it's true. And we take it by faith. Mary was encouraged by Elizabeth's miracle. Let's get to the next line here. She found out from the angel that her relative Elizabeth was pregnant, even though Elizabeth was not able to have kids. It was impossible for her to have kids. She was beyond the age of having kids, but she's 6 months pregnant. That'd be encouraging. You see, you can read on in the scripture, the first thing that Mary does after this, she goes over to visit Elizabeth, stays with her 3 months until the baby's born. That's encouraging her. As Jesus is growing in her womb, she's been encouraged by seeing Elizabeth give birth to John, who was a miracle as well. You see, Mary was told that nothing is impossible with God. How is this going to happen? Gabriel, who stands in the presence of Almighty God, who knows that God can do anything he wants to do, think of what things that Gabriel has seen God do. He knows this, and he says, the message, Mary, is this: nothing is impossible with God. Do you believe that, Mary? Nothing is impossible with God. because Mary is asked to believe something that makes no sense at all. It doesn't make any sense, common sense, human wisdom. She's asked to believe a miracle. One of the great messages of Christmas is nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Mary volunteered to be God's servant. I love her response. Remember, this is just a young teenager. She says, I am the Lord's servant. Think about what she could have said. She could have said, no way. I'm planning my marriage. I'm wedding, and I'm going to settle down in Nazareth. We're going to have an uneventful little life right here in Nazareth. I'm not going for this plan. No way. I'm going to turn my life upside down. But Mary chose to be a servant of God. Instead of choosing to serve herself, she chose to serve God, God's servant. Mary surrendered to the will of God. I love this phrase. She said, may it be to me as you have said. You see in that statement her surrendering to the will of God in her life. With that surrender will come great risk. Joseph, her future husband, is he going to believe her? And we know from the scripture he doesn't at first, till an angel talks to him. Are her parents going to believe her? Is the town people going to believe her? Are they going to reject her? Are they going to take her out in the streets and stone her? What's going to happen to her? She doesn't know. But she surrenders to the will of God. Very clearly, like Paul said many, many years later when he wrote to the Romans, he said, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. And isn't that what Mary's doing here? She's offering herself to God as a living sacrifice. I'm yours, Lord. May your will be done in my life as you desire. Mary surrendered to the will of God. She got pregnant by the Holy Spirit. She gave birth to her son, named him Jesus. She raised Jesus up. That must have been really interesting. Raising Jesus up. She believed in Jesus. She followed Jesus. You know, when Jesus was at the cross being crucified, the scripture tells us who was there. Mary, his mother, was there at the cross. She saw her son crucified on the cross, dying for the sins of the world. She also saw her son resurrected and alive again. And when you get to the book of Acts and you see all the disciples gathered in the upper room praying and waiting upon the Lord, guess who's there? Mother, Mary, the mother of Jesus, is there. She's faithful, surrendered to the Lord. And I just think that God is still looking for people like Mary, don't you think? Who will say to the Lord, I am your servant. May it be to me as you have said. May your will be done in my life. For us to give ourselves to God, let him work in and through us to do things that we could never do, only God could do for his glory and honor. We're going to sing a song together that kind of talks about that. It's a song of consecration. It says, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. That's really what Mary did. She surrendered her life, her will, says, here I am, Lord. And Mary got it to good on an amazing adventure in her life because she was surrendered to the will of God. And I'm hoping that as we sing this will be your prayer. Make it your prayer. Lord, let my life be consecrated to you for your use, whatever you want to do in my life. As we sing this, if you need to pray, the altar is open. If you need to pray about something, that would be great. You can come and we can pray together this morning. But let's stand and worship our Lord and sing this song of consecration to God.